It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show, and you can get us on the internet. You can live stream us. LarryKudlowShow.com. LarryKudlowShow.com. You can hear us all across the country, around the world, throughout the solar system, including the Milky Way. By the way, folks, got to turn your clocks forward. 2 a.m. tonight, I guess. Is that right? So we lose an hour of sleep, but we'll get more daylight. Don't forget that. And don't forget during the week, Fox Business Television. Name of the show is Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. If you can't be there at 4, please text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. How's that? All right, let's look at the stock market. Kind of a lackluster week, off a little bit, but we're still in the midst of this big rally. Year to date, the S&P 500 is up almost 7.5%. Bitcoin $68,862.35. How about that, sports fan? And I do want to say one other thing before we get to our guests. Interest rates, market rates fell this week. The 10-year, for example, down 10 basis points, 408. Some of that is because of the softer jobs number. But one thing that's not falling is the inflation break-evens. And I didn't even notice this. I was looking at it last night. The 2-year TIPS implied inflation has gone up. Year-to-date, 73 basis points. It's now 2.75, 275. So in short-term inflation fears have actually picked up. That goes along with the slight rise of inflation in recent months. It's just something to keep an eye on. We don't see it in the oil markets yet. And, of course, the gold price is booming. So we'll talk about all this. We have Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist, Hightower Advisors and Head of Investment Solutions, and Kenny Polcari, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Strategist at Slatestone Wealth. So, kids, welcome back. Stephanie Link, profits are the mother's milk of stocks and the lifeblood of the economy. I've been reading Ed Yardeni in recent weeks, who's been a big bull for quite some time, as you have been, I might add. But he's looking at very good profits numbers, at least for the S&P 500. And since I think profits are the mother's milk of stocks, that looks like an awfully good sign to me if all that keeps up. What do you think?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Earnings are much better than expected. They came in around 10% for the fourth quarter. The expectation for 2024 is about 8 to 10%. I think after listening to many companies on conference calls, they were more confident overall about the business, about growth, about margins, especially because inflation, even though it's high, it's down remarkably and for these companies, like think freight costs, transportation costs, that kind of thing. And so we had a surprise on the margin front, and you had better growth because the economy is better than expected. I mean, we made some, and over the last couple of weeks, Larry, we can talk about the jobs number yesterday, which was kind of confusing. But you look at the three-month average, you're running about 265,000 jobs a month. Average hourly earnings still okay. It came down 4%, but that's good for the consumer. The GDP report, consumption was up 3%, personal income up 4.8%. Manufacturing, the S&P Global Manufacturing Index expanded for the second month in a row. And so adding it all up to your point and your first question is, yeah, it's leading to better earnings. But what's interesting, and I want to hear Kenny's take on it because I'm sure he is seeing it as well. What's interesting, Larry, is we're starting to see a broadening out in the market because not only did tech and comm services have good numbers in terms of earnings. They were up 7 and 9% respectively. You had healthcare earnings rose 8%, financials up 7%, industrials up 6%. And so what you're seeing and what you have seen in the last couple of weeks is a little bit of a catch-up trade for the 493 stocks that didn't participate last year versus the Mag 7. and that's encouraging.
493 stocks to choose from, Ken Polcari. Throw darts at a board.
No, and Stephanie's absolutely right. We've seen that, right? But to also her point, all her analysis about the economy, about the strength of it, the consumer, all that stuff is very positive. Earnings are great. Projections going forward are wonderful, which then brings me to the point is, if everything's so great, why is everyone stamping their feet about the Fed needs to cut rates and stimulate the economy? They don't. And so I'm in the camp that they don't do anything. But one way or the other, to Stephanie's point, we're seeing strength in all those other industries. Actually, industrials, healthcare, basic materials, all up nearly 8% year to date. So they're catching up for sure. Tech is up, I think. Tech and communications are about 9.5%. But the other areas of the market are, in fact, seeing more money move into it. And that is a healthy sign based on what investors think, based on what the economy is doing.
If you have strong profits, you don't need lower interest rates or Fed easing. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, kids, that's the best way for the market to rise. Profits, not stimulus from the Fed, you know, or the government, but profits. That's the. And I want to add one other thing from Ed Hyman's report. The productivity number. Now, it's a lag, but Q4 over Q4, 2.6% increase in productivity, which is very substantial, which means the increase in wages of 4.5%, when you put in the productivity number, you're still only running about 1.5% inflation. That's a very low number. So that's good too. So if you think of it as the cost side, that's also very positive for profits. Anytime productivity goes up, unit labor costs go down, right? That's good for profits and good for the stock market. We agree on that.
Yeah, but look at this. Rates are at 5.25. They've been now 5.25 for a while, and we're kissing all-time highs in the market, and projections are still going higher, and that's with rates where they are, which, by the way, are historically normal.
So why is gold going up so much, Stephanie? 2,178. Gold's had a big rally, 4.5% this past week. Year-to-date, it's up about 5.5%. Why is gold doing what it's doing?
I mean, I asked everyone that question, because no one has an answer. And I will tell you, if there's something that I worry about, I do. I worry about that gold is going up, and I don't really understand why it would be going up. Obviously, it's a very defensive kind of a stance. And I don't know why you would want to be defensive other than to say that we do have parts of the market that are at, in my mind, extremes, and that is technology. That is, if you look and it's semiconductors. And Larry, my goodness, yesterday was a bloodbath in semiconductors. And everybody talks about NVIDIA, so I'm just going to mention it. But it opened up 4%, up 4%, and closed down 5.
Wow, what happened?
It wasn't just NVIDIA. It was all the semiconductor companies. And I think a lot of it was, you know, Broadcom reported on Thursday night and it was a great number, but it didn't beat extreme expectations. I mean, Broadcom's up 51% in the last 3 months. That's not normal. That's not normal at all. And so I think people are starting to get a little jittery. Let's see. I think Monday's going to be very interesting to see if you're going to see some follow through. Because, I mean, you had the NASDAQ, I mean, down 116 basis points that on Friday, but you had tech down huge, double that. And I think we want to watch for that. And it goes to the point of what I was trying to make before, is that we are seeing a broadening out in the market at the expense of Mag 7 and some technology stocks. The Russell 1000 growth is up 9%. The Russell 1000 value is up 5%. This is year to date. At one point, Larry, that the Russell 1000 growth was up 9% and value was flat on the year. So you're starting to see a real big catch up.
Sometimes corrections can be very healthy.
They should be healthy. And by the way, it's not like the money's coming out of tech and going to sit in cash and not going to the other industries. To Stephanie's point, my point, it is going into the other industries, which is a positive sign. I'd say if it was coming out of tech and just sitting in treasuries or cash and everything else was getting crushed, that'd be a different conversation we were having.
I don't know. Looks like it's going into Bitcoin. Ha, 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 ha. I got to take a break on that point. Stephanie Link, Hightower Advisors and Investment Solutions, Kenny Pocari, Case Capital Advisors and Slatestone Wealth. I'm Kudlow. I don't own any Bitcoin, but I'm still Kudlow. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking stocks with Stephanie Link, Chief Investment Strategist, Hightower Advisors, Head of Investment Solutions, and Kenny Pocari, Managing Partner at Case Capital Advisors and Chief Market Strategist at Slatestone Wealth. Ken Pocari, I'm going to be a little bit of a bulldog here. 68,862. That's the quote for Bitcoin. Bitcoin, yeah. A new high.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, the people's choice. Bitcoin, what's going on there?
I think there's a couple of things going on. You got the halving coming up, which is always a big event for Bitcoin. But then you also have, you know, these half a dozen or a dozen ETFs now that have all gone Bitcoin and they all got to get in. And so there's all this excitement around it. And then it's momentum. It feeds on itself, all this excitement, because it starts breaking, you know, it broke 50,000 and 55,000 and 60,000. And so then the momentum feeds on itself. I think we traded what? I think we broke the high that we 69. Didn't we almost traded 70,000, right?
Yeah.
Which is a little bit above the last high that we had. But I think a lot of it is due to the excitement about the halving that's coming up, as well as now all these ETFs that are out there that allow, you know, the everyday American to feel like they're participating and they're jumping into the latest, you know, the latest craze. You know, the Bitcoin's going to be $100,000 by the end of the year. It's going to be $200,000 by the end of next year. And so I think it's much more craze and hype than I
do. You own it? Do you own it?
I own a little bit of it, just so that I can feel it and play with it and feel kind of
at our own time. And you bought
it. I never own enough of it, right?
And you bought it at 300, right?
No. My average price is about $36,000.
You could have bought it. You could have bought it $50, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. Listen, if I bought it at 300, I'd be out right now.
It's just incredible. Incredible story. Stephanie, you own it?
I do not own it, but I totally agree with Kenny. As soon as all those ETFs came out, I mean, that was really like Katie barred the door. And, and that's really, at the end of the day, like, if you're going to invest in that, in this theme, that's what you want. No more than 5% of a portfolio, but right. In an ETF. This way you can kind of calm down tamp down the volatility.
Would you prefer, who you like better, Stephanie, NVIDIA or Bitcoin?
Oh my gosh.
That was a joke.
Neither.
Joke. So let me ask a serious question, though. The 2-year tips break even, inflation, implied inflation, 275. It's up 73 basis points year to date. So in the last couple months, it's gone up quite a bit. I'm just wondering, there's a little whiff of inflation in the air. No? Yes?
Well, I mean, the data, you know what it is? It's still high by historical standards, but it has come down quite a bit, but it is still high. We're still, you got a core PCE almost at 3%.
Mm-hmm.
That's down from 5.6%. So we've made progress, but That's big. That's still a big number. The fourth quarter unit labor cost of 2.5%. I mean, that's encouraging too. It's gotten better along with what you mentioned, productivity up 2.6. So that's a good combination. We still have wood to chop, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Mm-hmm. But we're able to. The thing I come back to, companies are able to handle it. They're managing through it. Is it price increases? Yes. Is it cost cutting and restructuring? Yes. And it's also them benefiting again from, I mean, listen to what Target said. I mean, their operating margins last year, 2023, expanded 180 basis points. And then it expanded another 60 basis points in their fourth quarter. And they did talk about lower markdown, lower freight, lower digital fulfillment costs. Inventories have come down across the industry. So these companies are able to deal with it. And that's why we come back to earnings, and the earnings have held up remarkably well.
Kenny, but it is, I look at this two-year break-evens, the CPI break-evens, and I look at gold also, and I'm not ever sure what the gold message is, but it could be. There is still inflation concerns, and the actual monthly reports have not been as good. I mean, we're not falling anymore.
No, in fact, the last month, CPI, PPI, PC, were both slightly elevated month over month. Now, the year-over-year number continues to come down, but the month-over-month number now is the one that you're worried about. And this week coming, we're going to get the next CPI report and PPI report, right, Tuesday and Thursday, I think it's this week. And so what's that going to show? And I think what the concern is that it continues to show either it holds the level that it rose to last month, or it even increases again, and that's going to cause some short-term angst, right? Which, again, it supports my argument is, why is the Fed even talking about, at the moment, cutting rates at all? They shouldn't be. Holding higher for longer is where they should be.
Actually, Joe Biden talked about it in his speech yesterday. He's now telling the Fed to cut rates. Overtly. Very interesting. We'll see if they're independent. So the other thing is, Kenny, around the world, everyone is bombing everybody else right now. It's not good. The United States is not even a player in some of this stuff. But Brent crude is still, I'll call it $82. Hadn't done much. You'd think with these wars, and the wars include oil producing countries like Iran and Russia and so forth. You know, we have oil's just kind of sticking around $80 a barrel. Nothing much has happened. What do you make of that one?
Right. I expected oil to be a little bit higher, but it's holding between the $75, say $80 a barrel line. I think that there's a couple of things. Certainly, we've now become almost a swing producer again in this country, right? The U.S. is now producing oil at the level it was under the prior administration. And so we've become a supplier. And then you've seen kind of a split amongst OPEC. You see some of these countries that don't want to stick by the production cut rules that OPEC is implying, that OPEC is imposing on them. And so some of them are choosing to leave and then operate on their own. And so I think that's causing some disruption in the oil market versus what we know. But if this continues, right, if these wars continue, I suspect the oil is going to stay here, and I think it's going to go higher because I think demand in 24 and 25 is expected to grow. So I think there's only upward pressure on oil prices.
All right, kids. Stephanie Link, thank you ever so much. Kenny Pocari, thank you ever so much. Bitcoin, thank you ever so much. NVIDIA, Jim Cramer's dog, thank you ever so much. Folks, I'm Kudlow. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. Money and politics. We got Monica Crowley and we got Steve Moore. Stick around. Much more to come.